You do have a clear, massive violence problem from the right. You have a significant part of the population who seems to not believe that this election is legitimate. And that doesn't mean that all of them are going to be willing and able and capable to exert violence. But we have seen, since the election, an uptick of attempts by violent white supremacist groups to recruit those disillusioned Trump and QAnon supporters.
So what does that tell you? These disillusioned people being recruited by far-right extremist groups. What does that say to you?
In that way, I would say correctly, as the FBI already done last year and the year before that, REMT is your biggest worry in the United States.
REMT meaning racially or ethnically motivated terrorism.
Yeah. Globally, of course, the picture is quite different. So if you look at the global scale, Islamist terror groups are still, on the whole, far more responsible for greater acts of violence. And there's an uptick in West Africa. There's an uptick also coming in the Afghan-Pakistan border region with the political process that's going on there. There is no letting up in Southeast Asia. So in all of those, and of course, Syria and Iraq, in all of those hotspots, of course, this is Islamist terrorism, and that will stay the prevalent force on a global level.
So here in the West, domestic extremists are the problem.
Europe and the United States will face an equal, if not more prevalent, right-wing extremist or REMT terror threat in the coming years.
The organizations that are primarily responsible for international terrorism, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Taliban, how do you see their fortunes or their activities in 2021 shaking out?
Honestly, their stock has gone up in all of the conflict regions. You do have a deteriorating situation in Iraq. You just saw the massive attack in Baghdad. You have a very much deteriorating situation in Afghanistan, whether it's perpetrated by the Haqqani network or the Taliban or ISPK, so Islamic State Khorasan. So you have all versions of Islamic extremism and terrorism in that country or in that region in one place. You do have a continuing terror threat in Southeast Asia. So for them, the last year wasn't in any way significantly different to 2019. But since they were able to destabilize further regions compared to 2019, i.e. more in Iraq, more in West Africa, and definitely more in Afghanistan, Pakistan, there is unfortunately no path that I can see that will reverse now in 2021, unless there is a concerted effort again by the international community to push that back, which means, unfortunately, again, greater engagement in these conflict regions, which I don't think there is a particular appetite in the US, even under this new administration, nor there is in Europe. So, you know, these conflict regions will see an uptick in violence this year.
Which of the organizations that I mentioned do you believe is the most dangerous? There was a time when AQAP, which is one of the Al-Qaeda satellites, was believed to be because of their bomb-making capabilities. Technology has, in some ways, created some new opportunities and movement for terror organizations. So I'm wondering, which of these organizations do you believe is the most dangerous from a tactical point of view?
Yeah. Look, I mean, AQAP was the part of Al-Qaeda since 2002, really, that was systematically involved in international attacks. That not only the bomb-making skills, but also these continuing efforts to attack Europe and the United States made it into the part of Al-Qaeda that was considered the most dangerous for Europe, right? But, I mean, AQIM and other Al-Qaeda affiliates in the Philippines, Jamaa Islamiyah and others, did a lot of violence, just not targeted at Europe, the mainland Europe and the mainland US. That was AQAP. That's why it had this specific role within the network and that specific way that we perceive this organization. However, if you're going away from bomb attacks like Aria Grande or spectacularly big attacks like the two Paris attacks against Charlie Hebdo in the Bataclan Theater, and look at what is the low-level danger? Because, I mean, if you get knifed down in the street, you're still dead. So, you know, as, you know, on the individual level in Europe, it mustn't really make a difference on what kind of terror attack you die from. ISIL is the one that is still motivating far more efficiently than Al-Qaeda does via the internet, pretty much as we discussed many, many, many times, unchecked by the tech industry as a whole, its followers to go out and conduct attacks. We've been, unfortunately, last year fairly regularly together with each other, discussing one or the other horrible attack that happened in Europe. The last one in Germany was only October last year, where a believed de-radicalized Islamic State foreign terrorist fighter who had been released from prison, deemed de-radicalized, knifed down three tourists in Dresden. That is a terror attack. That is motivated by ISIL. It is not as complex and spectacular as a AQAP bombing plot at the, I think it was the Ariana Grande concert, if I remember, in Manchester. That's complex, but you know, these three people are still dead. So on a lower level, this is still violence where I think ISIL is still the more prevalent threat because of their radicalization activities online.
It's 2021. It is following what appeared to have been a year off for terror organizations, at least in the traditional sense. They didn't seem to do a whole lot, primarily, I think, because of COVID-19. But I'm wondering today what your thoughts are about what the picture looks like for 2021 when it comes to terrorism.
I would not call it a year off for terrorist organizations. If you look at any of the ideological streams, I would more, I think, appropriately term it a year of preparation. Yes, indeed, there's been less large-scale, organized, spectacular terrorist attacks in 2020 than there were before. However, all organizations, whether it's from the extreme right-wing or what US government calls REMT, to Islamist terrorist organizations, have all moved up their operations online, tried to recruit more, tried to organize better, tried to propagate more. So they use the time, really, to prepare for the time when targets are again available, i.e. international travel is again allowed, congregations of people are again allowed, big festivals or other things that are, you know, worth attacking in inverted commas for terrorists are going to be possible again. So given that hopefully with the vaccines, we are looking forward to a rescinding of the restrictions step by step this year, towards the end of this year, and then at definitely more of a normal travel patterns in 2022, I would assume we will see an uptick of terrorist attacks once it is, physically, possible again. But don't forget, we did have a couple of terrorist attacks, at least in Europe. We had Vienna a couple of weeks ago. We had five actually quite significant attacks in France. Not many casualties, but I mean, beheading in the streets of Paris is something that doesn't occur every day. And of course, very recently, you saw what REMT can lead to if it keeps being unchecked.
Anything you want to add?
Look, I mean, my biggest worry, of course, is the intersection between a more target-rich environment when these restrictions are gone and a economic downturn, which I think, looking at least on the European economy, is an unavoidable occurrence later this year or at the latest in 2022. This will create a lot of economic and social pressure and then push both on the extreme right and then in response on the extreme Islamist side, people into further radicalization processes. So we are looking forward to an inverted comma, very interesting 24 months ahead of us when this is all going to play out, because what we can see on the online sphere is everyone is just ready and yearning to go.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project, J.J. Green, WTOP News.